saved them from death. Then they asked Philopater to let them return to their homes, and he agreed. Philopater's officials had begun registering the Jews on the 25th day of the month of Pacon, and ended on the 4th day of Epaiph, a total of 40 days. The Jews were then supposed to have been punished and killed from the 5th day to the 7th day of Epaiph, but the Lord had shown his mercy and rescued every one of them. So the Jews celebrated 7 days from the 8th day of Epaiph to the 14th day, and Philopater himself provided all the wine and food. Philopater's letter. Not only did Philopater agree to let the Jews return to their homes, he also wrote a letter about them and sent it to the army commanders in every city of his kingdom. The letter said, Chapter 7. Greetings from King Ptolemy Philopater of Egypt to my army commanders and the highest-ranking officials of my kingdom. I hope you are in good health. The people are safe and well because God Most High has been very kind and has made good things happen to our kingdom. Yet some of my officials here in Alexandria encouraged us to do something evil. They asked us to bring together all the Jews in my kingdom and to severely torture and punish them as if they were rebels. These wicked officials claimed that the Jews were a constant threat to any nation where they lived, and that our own government would never be completely in control until they were wiped out. The Jews were led to the stadium and treated no better than slaves or traitors. Our own officials were terribly mean and cruel, and they tried their best to put the Jews to death without asking them a single question. My other officials and I threatened to punish these rebel officials for what they were doing. And then we rescued the Jews just as we would rescue any foreigners. We know for certain that the God of heaven defends the Jews and treats them as well as a father treats his own children. The Jews have always been loyal and friendly to us and our ancestors. So we have forgotten every false charge brought against them, and we told them to go back to their own homes. We ordered everyone to leave the Jews alone and not harm them in any way or make fun of them for the awful things that have happened. You know that if we plan to do any evil against the Jews or cause them any trouble at all, we won't have a human ruler as our enemy. God Most High, the ruler over all human powers, will turn against us and avenge them. Goodbye. The rebellious Jews are punished. When the faithful Jews read this letter, they did not leave immediately. Instead, they asked Philopater if they could punish the other Jews in Alexandria who had sinned against God and rejected his law to avoid starving to death. The faithful Jews told Philopater that these rebels would never be truly loyal to him. Philopater agreed and gave the faithful Jews complete authority to wipe out the rebellious Jews who had disobeyed God's commands. The priests and the rest of the Jews clapped and cheered when they heard Philopater's decision, and they shouted praises to God just before they left. As they went through Alexandria, they punished every Jew who had become unacceptable to God by disobeying his commands. These rebels were shamefully put to death where everyone could watch. 300 men were killed on that day, and it was remembered as a special day on which many unfaithful Jews were destroyed. After that, the faithful Jews left Alexandria. They wore sweet-smelling flowers around their heads, and they sang beautiful songs of praise in honor of the God their ancestors had worshipped. And as they left, they thanked God for rescuing them, just as he had always rescued the people of Israel. The faithful Jews return home. Sometime later, the Jews arrived at Ptolemais, also known as the City of Roses, where the boats to take them home were docked. The boats waited 7 days because all the Jews agreed to celebrate their rescue once again. They also honored King Philopater, who had provided the supplies they would need until every one of them returned home. The Jews were very thankful when they were safely off the boats, and they decided to remember their travel days as festival days. before they left for their homes, they found a stone column and carved on it the command to celebrate these sacred festival days each year. Then they dedicated the place as a sacred place for prayer. Everyone got home safely, because the Lopater made sure they were safe all along the way home, whether on land or water. They were very happy that they were free and were no longer abused prisoners. In fact, the enemies of the Jews now respected them and promised to treat them like friends. The people who had taken over the Jews' property were afraid of what God might do, so these people were eager to give it back according to the government records that told how much the Jews owned. God is praised. God Most High did all the miracles written in this book so that the Jews would be rescued from death. Shout praises forever to the God who saves the people of Israel. Amen.
This ends 3rd Maccabees. And now, 4th Maccabees.
4th Maccabees. About this book. 4th Maccabees was written in the form of a speech. It encourages people to think clearly and have faith in God so that feelings of fear, doubt, selfishness, anger, and hatred cannot stop them from doing what is right. The author uses the examples of 9 faithful Jews who gave up their lives rather than disobey God. They die just before the time of the rebellion led by Judas Maccabeus, and so the book is known as 4th Maccabees. According to the author, their death showed others how to be faithful. But even more importantly, God accepted it as a sacrifice that took away the sin of the entire Jewish nation. God rescued the people of Israel from horrible suffering and gave them his blessing. The stories in 4th Maccabees also remind all who worship God that if they think clearly and have faith in him and obey his law, he will constantly be with them and give them strength and courage. Why this book was written. Chapter 1. I am writing this book to discuss clear thinking and faith in God and whether these together can control emotions. So please read carefully. This question is very important because everyone who wants to be wise should know the answer. And besides, thinking clearly about difficult questions is one of the most honorable things a person can do. Everyone knows that clear thinking is much better than having strong desires to overeat and to have sex. These two emotions completely take over a person's mind. Clear thinking is also better than hatred and anger and pain and fear. Emotions like these stand in the way of courage and doing what is right. You might hear someone ask, "If clear thinking controls my emotions, then why can't I learn more and never forget it?" That is a foolish question, because stupidity and forgetfulness keep a person from thinking clearly. But when people use their minds to think clearly about something, they will be brave and will do what is right and fair. I have lots of examples to prove that our minds can control our emotions. However, the best examples are the stories of the brave people who willingly died rather than do wrong. I'm talking especially about 9 people. Eliezer, 7 brave brothers, and the mother of these 7 young men. These 9 refused to do evil, even when threatened with death. That surely proves that clear thinking is stronger than emotions. So on this festival day, I want to praise these people. I know God has certainly blessed and honored them already because they were put to death for their loyalty and right living. The guards and other people who watched them die were amazed at their courage and patience. In fact, their faithfulness saved our entire nation from being controlled by wicked rulers. I will write more about these brave people later, and will give thanks to the God who knows everything. But first, I want to tell you more about clear thinking. What is clear thinking? Our question is whether clear thinking can control emotions. We must first ask three questions. What is clear thinking? What are emotions? And how many different kinds of emotions are there? After we answer those questions, then we can ask if clear thinking can control each different feeling. Clear thinking comes from the mind and leads to wisdom, which is knowledge about God and people and about why things happen the way they do. We become wise by obeying the law of Moses, because in it God tells how he wants us to live. Besides making good decisions, wise people are brave and treat everyone fairly, and they also keep themselves from doing wrong. The ability to make good decisions is most important because it proves that clear thinking controls emotions. The two most common emotions are happiness and sadness, and these two emotions often determine how people think and act. For example, if people get what they want, they are usually pleased and happy, and if they are afraid, they will usually be sad and miserable. Yet we all know that people can have angry feelings whether they are happy or sad. Sometimes a happy person can be very mean, and that feeling is the hardest one to understand. It makes people boastful, greedy, selfish, and hateful, and it also causes people to overeat and love food more than anything else. Happiness and sadness are like two plants that grow out of the same mind and body, and these two plants have lots of branches. Clear thinking is the gardener who takes care of these young plants. All human emotions and actions are controlled by clear thinking because it makes sure they stay healthy and strong and pure, just as a gardener waters and weeds and ties up the young plants in a garden. Clear thinking leads to right living, but emotions without clear thinking are always out of control. Clear thinking keeps us from doing what is wrong. I want you to know first that clear thinking controls emotions by keeping us from doing what is wrong. This is what keeps our desires under control, whether or not they are ever strong enough to make us do something evil. For example, I believe clear thinking is more powerful than hunger, and that's why we can turn down delicious-looking food that is forbidden by God's law. When we think clearly, we are able to refuse fish and bird and any meat that is unclean. The feelings we have when we are hungry are controlled by thinking clearly, just as it controls all the desires of our bodies. Chapter 2. You should also know that clear thinking keeps us from always wanting beautiful things. We praise our ancestor Joseph for using his mind to control his desire to have sex. Even though he was young and strong, he refused to give in to sexual desires. That's why I say that the mind keeps us from evil desires, including the wrong kind of sex. The law of Moses says, "Do not want your neighbor's wife or husband or anything that belongs to someone else." The law clearly forbids us from wanting what isn't ours. And I could give you many more examples of how clear thinking controls those desires. Clear thinking keeps us from being selfish. Clear thinking also keeps us from being selfish and unfair. People who eat or drink too much can control these bad habits because their mind is more powerful than their emotions. Even greedy people who start obeying God's law will stop their selfish ways. They will agree to lend money to those in need without charging interest, and after 6 years will not ask them to pay it back. Greedy people who start thinking clearly and begin obeying God's law will leave some of their grain standing along the edges of the fields and will not pick up what falls on the ground. Clear thinking controls our emotions in every situation, and God's law is even more important than the love we have for our parents. His law is more important than loving our wives or husbands or children or friends, and so we can warn and punish them when they sin. And don't be surprised when clear thinking and God's law cause us to be kind to someone we hate. After all, The law says we are not to cut down the fruit trees of our enemies. Instead, we are to protect their property and not let anyone destroy it. Clear thinking helps us control our anger. Finally, clear thinking helps us control the more fierce emotions like pride, arrogance, hatred, and the desire for power. The mind is more powerful than these emotions, just as it is more powerful than anger. When our ancestor Moses was angry with Dathan and Abiram, he did not punish them in uncontrolled anger. I have said already that the mind can help us control some of our emotions and destroy others. That's why our wise ancestor Jacob did not punish Simeon and Levi for slaughtering the entire tribe of Shechem. Instead, Jacob placed a curse on them for being so violent. If he had not used his mind to control his anger, he would have punished them severely for their crime. It's true that when God created us, he gave us many different emotions and desires, but he also gave each of us a mind so we could control them. And God gave us his law to control our minds. The people who obey this law will always do what is right, and will be brave and fair and kind. Some people ask, if clear thinking controls my emotions, then why can't it keep me from being stupid and forgetful? Chapter 3. That question is foolish. Stupidity and forgetfulness are the two things that keep a person from thinking clearly, and so clear thinking can't control them. But it does have power over our emotions. None of us can ever completely get rid of selfish desires, but our mind helps us control them, just as it helps us control our anger and our hatred. We will always have desires and anger and hatred in our lives, but clear thinking helps us overcome those emotions. The example of King David. I can explain all this by telling a story about the time when King David was very thirsty. All day long, David and his army had been attacking and killing Philistines. That evening he was hot and tired as he returned and went into his royal tent in the middle of camp. Then, while his soldiers were eating, David became very thirsty, but the spring water he was offered would not satisfy his thirst. David suddenly wanted water from the Philistine territory and couldn't get it off his mind. As his guards complained that getting him water from there was very dangerous, two young soldiers decided to go and get it anyway. So they armed themselves with weapons and took an empty pitcher, then climbed over the dirt ramps that protected the Philistine territory. The Philistine guards did not see David's two soldiers, so they looked around the enemy camp until they found a spring of water. They dipped the pitcher into the water and bravely carried it back to David. Though David was very thirsty, he suddenly realized how brave these two soldiers had been to do such a dangerous thing. He refused to drink the water because he knew they had risked their lives to get it. His mind was stronger than his thirst, so he poured out the water as a sacrifice to God. Clear thinking can control even our strongest desires. Our mind can help us handle pain and our fiercest emotions. Now I want to tell more stories about how clear thinking can control emotions. Apollonius tries to rob the temple treasury. At one time, our ancestors in Jerusalem were living in peace and were prospering because they were faithfully obeying God's law. King Seleucus Nicanor of Asia was kind to them and even gave money to pay for sacrifices at the temple. But about the same time, a group of people planned troubles that would upset the peace of the city. Chapter 4. Onias was high priest of the nation at the time, and he was honest and respected. However, a man named Simon was an enemy of Onias and told horrible lies about him. But the people refused to believe anything bad about Onias, and so Simon left Israel, promising to cause trouble for the entire nation. Simon went to Apollonius, the governor of Syria, Phoenicia, and Cilicia, and said, Sir, I am a loyal servant of King Seleucus. I am here to report that a lot of the money kept in the temple treasury in Jerusalem has come from people's private accounts. This money doesn't belong to the temple. It belongs to King Seleucus himself. Apollonius immediately thanked Simon for his honesty and loyalty, then went to tell Seleucus about the money. After the king had put Apollonius in charge of getting the money from the Jerusalem temple, Apollonius and Simon left for Jerusalem and took a powerful army with them. When they arrived in Jerusalem, Apollonius told the people that King Seleucus had ordered him to take all private accounts from the temple treasury. The people became very angry and couldn't believe that their own money was about to be stolen. So they did everything they could to stop Apollonius. He ignored them and began walking toward the temple, shouting threats at the crowd, while priests and women and children begged God to protect his holy temple from being dishonored. Just as Apollonius and his army reached the temple and started inside to collect the money, angels appeared in the sky. They were on horses, and their weapons flashed back and forth like lightning. Apollonius and his soldiers were weak from fear, and he fell to his knees right there in the temple courtyard. He raised his hands to heaven and started crying, then begged the Hebrew people to pray for him and ask God to stop the army of angels. Apollonius confessed that he had sinned against God and deserved to die, and he promised to praise the sacred temple in front of everyone if God would let him live. Onias, the high priest, heard Apollonius and prayed for him, though he didn't deserve it. Onias knew that if he didn't ask God to forgive Apollonius, King Seleucus would think that the people had killed him. Apollonius lived and went back to tell Seleucus exactly what had happened to him in Jerusalem. The Jews are forced to live like Greeks. After the death of King Seleucus, his arrogant and dishonest son Antiochus Epiphanes became king. Antiochus quickly removed Onias from his position as high priest and replaced him with Jason, the brother of Onias. Jason had promised that if he became high priest, he would pay the king 3,600 silver coins each year. So Antiochus appointed him high priest and ruler of the country. Right away, Jason changed the customs of the country and the way it was run. Everything he did was forbidden by God's law. Jason built a sports stadium near the Jerusalem temple, and he ordered all worship at the temple to stop forever. God became very angry at these things, and Antiochus himself became even more determined to attack the Jews. While Antiochus was at war with King Ptolemy of Egypt, he heard that a rumor of his death was going around Jerusalem and that the people were celebrating. So Antiochus immediately marched against the city and carried off everything of value, then gave orders that anyone worshiping the God of Israel would be put to death. But the people ignored his threats and continued to obey God's law. Some young mothers circumcised their sons, even though they knew that they and their babies would be thrown to their death from a high place. The people hated Antiochus and his demands, so he tried using torture to force the Jews to eat food forbidden by God's law and to reject their religion. Eliezer refuses to eat the meat of pigs. Chapter 5. The evil King Antiochus held a meeting with his top advisers in an official building guarded by his armed soldiers. He then ordered his troops to capture all the Jews in the city and force them to eat the meat of pigs and the sacrifices that had been offered to idols. Anyone who refused to eat such unclean food was to be severely tortured and put to death. After many Jews had been arrested, Eliezer, the priest and leader of the Jews, was taken to Antiochus. Though Eliezer was old, most of the king's officials knew him because he was intelligent and an expert in the law of Moses. When Antiochus saw him, he said, "Before you are tortured, old man, I will give you a chance to save yourself by eating the meat of pigs. I certainly respect your old age, but I still think you're being foolish to remain a Jew. After all, what's wrong with this meat? It is one of the best things nature has given us, and it certainly isn't unclean, as you say. While you may be a fool for not enjoying its taste, you are stupid for not obeying me. Forget what your law says about the meat of pigs, and think like a wise old man. Remember that what you decide to do can save your life, so be good to yourself and listen to advice. If God really did give you this law, he will forgive you for doing something you've been forced to do. After Antiochus had finished speaking, Eleazar asked if he could have a chance to speak. Antiochus agreed, and Eleazar said in a voice loud enough for the crowd to hear, "Your Majesty, we Jews believe that nothing can stop us from obeying the law that our God has given us. That's why we refuse to do anything his law forbids. You seem to believe that God did not give it to us. I tell you that we would still follow this sacred custom, even if that were true. It would be terrible for us to eat the meat of pigs, because disobeying God's law is always wrong, whether the sin is serious or not. We will not insult God or go against his law. You make fun of our beliefs, as if they were crazy. But they teach us to control our emotions and desires. We learn how to be brave and how to suffer without complaining, and our beliefs teach us to be fair to all people in everything we do. Most important, these beliefs teach us to live right and worship the only living God. So we refuse to eat food that our God has said is unclean. He is the creator of the world, and he gave us this law out of mercy. God said we could eat food that is good for us, but he has forbidden us to eat what is bad. You cannot force us to break God's law. Besides, if we eat this unclean food, you might make fun of us for being unfaithful, and that would disgrace us even more. You will not have the chance to laugh at me, because I will not ignore the sacred customs of my ancestors. I refuse to disobey God's law, even if you poke out my eyes and burn my insides. Though I am old, I think as clearly as a young man, and I will bravely worship God. So get ready to torture me and make that fire even hotter. I don't need your pity. I am completely loyal to the ancient law of Moses and all its teachings. I have studied them my whole life, and will do what they have taught me. As an honored priest and an expert in the law, I refuse to ignore my own clear thinking and be put to shame. Your Majesty, I will not be disgraced by letting you insult my age and my obedience to the law. My ancestors will respect and honor me because I am not afraid to be cruelly punished, even if it kills me. You may be able to control wicked people, yet nothing you say or do will force me to go against the sacred laws of my God." The Death of Eleazar, Chapter 6. After Eleazar had finished his speech to King Antiochus, the guard standing nearby grabbed Eleazar and dragged him to the place of torture. Even after they ripped off Eleazar's clothes, he did not feel disgraced. The guards tied his arms to poles on his left and right, then they whipped him while one of the king's officials shouted, "You will obey King Antiochus." But like always, Eleazar was very brave, and he let them whip him, acting as if nothing at all was happening to him. While he looked toward heaven, the whips tore off his skin and cut his sides. Blood flowed down his body, and he fell to the ground in pain, though his mind was still strong, and he continued to think clearly. One of the cruel guards ran over to Eleazar and kicked him in the side to make him get up. Eleazar was tortured and abused, yet he endured the pain and the whipping like a strong athlete who refused to be defeated. Sweat poured down his face, and he could barely breathe, but his courage amazed the guards who were torturing him. Just then, some of the king's officials who knew Eleazar began to feel sorry for him. They couldn't believe he was enduring such pain, so they said, "Eleazar, why are you doing this to yourself? You are foolish not to give in to King Antiochus. Let us give you some meat from a pig, and you can save yourself by pretending to eat it." Eliezer became very upset when he heard their advice, and he replied in a loud voice, "Listen to me, all descendants of Abraham. Never let fear make you pretend to do something so disgusting. We would be fools if we disobeyed God's law now, after carefully obeying it our entire lives. Every young person here would follow our wicked example and eat food that God has forbidden. Besides, if we ate this unclean meat and lived longer, we would be laughed at for being cowards, and King Antiochus himself would think we are weak for not choosing to die for the sake of God's law. So be ready to die bravely for your faith in God. And now, you guards of the evil Antiochus, don't wait any longer to torture me." The guards realized that Eliezer would not change his mind and that he would bravely face any pain, so they dragged him to the fire, where they burned his body with red-hot metal poles. Then they threw him to the ground and poured boiling vinegar up his nose. Now that Eliezer had been burned, both inside and out, he was close to death, but he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Our God, you know that I could have saved myself from this pain, yet I am dying for the sake of your law. Have pity on your people, so that they will not have to suffer the pain I have suffered. Let my blood and my death take away their sin and guilt." After Eliezer had said these things, he died. This faithful man had been cruelly tortured, but he refused to reject God's law. His clear thinking gave him the courage to face such pain. This story proves that faith and clear thinking can control our emotions. If Eliezer's emotions had taken over his thinking, then we would have told you, but that didn't happen. Eliezer's mind was stronger than his emotions and his painful suffering. You would be foolish to think that clear thinking has no power over emotions. I have shown that clear thinking will always help you endure both pain and happiness. The Example of Eliezer, Chapter 7. Our ancestor Eliezer was like the skilled captain of a ship, and the Jewish religion was his ship. He was able to think clearly, and so he steered the ship through the rough sea of emotions. The evil King Antiochus was a raging storm that pounded Eliezer's ship, and the painful abuse he endured were the waves that almost drowned him. But Eliezer headed straight into the storm and refused to give up, and he finally reached the safety of never-ending victory, which was his death. The faithful man Eliezer was stronger than a city attacked by powerful weapons. He was tortured in horrible ways, but he used the shield of his faith and his mind to defeat his enemies. Eliezer's mind was like a rocky cliff, stronger than the mighty waves of emotions. He was an honored priest whose entire body was completely sacred and acceptable because he never ate anything God had forbidden. Eliezer obeyed God's law in everything he did, and he knew how to live right. All priests should follow Eliezer's example and be willing to suffer and die for the sake of the law. Our ancestor Eliezer showed wonderful patience when he endured such suffering, and he has helped us become more loyal to God's sacred law. He never rejected it, but proved that faith and clear thinking can stand up against anything. Though Eliezer was old, his courage and strength were more powerful than both the brutal torture and fire. He was like our ancestor Aaron, who picked up a pan filled with incense and ran into a crowd of people to defeat the fiery angel of death. Eliezer himself was tortured with fire, yet he refused to give up his loyalty to the law. His body and muscles were weak and flabby from old age, but he amazed the crowd as if he had the mind of a young man. Eliezer had a strong mind and was able to think clearly just like his ancestor Isaac, and so the painful torture was useless against him. He obeyed the law in everything he did, and God blessed him with a long life, then made him completely holy at death. Eliezer was a faithful old man who endured the painful suffering that led to his death. His story proves once again that clear thinking, together with faith in God, can control emotions. You might be asking, what if someone cannot think clearly and carefully? Does that person still have control over emotions? Yes, because people who are completely faithful to God will be able to control their evil desires. Like our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those who have faith in God will always do right. So don't think that someone who seems to be controlled by emotions cannot think clearly. People who trust in God and think wisely know that they will be blessed for doing what is right, and they will be able to use their faith to control their emotions. Only those who are wise and brave are the masters of their emotions. Seven Brave Brothers, Chapter 8. Young people who are faithful to God and who think clearly are also able to endure painful suffering and torture. For example, when the evil King Antiochus realized he could not force Eliezer to eat food that would have made him unacceptable to worship God, Antiochus became furious. He immediately ordered his guards to bring other Hebrew prisoners to him, then said to them, "If any of you choose to eat this food, you will be set free. But if you refuse, you will be punished even more cruelly than Eliezer was." Seven brave brothers and their mother were soon brought to Antiochus. The brothers were honest and good-looking, and they proudly stood in a circle around their mother. Antiochus was surprised to meet such successful young Jewish men, and he liked them right away. He smiled and asked them to come closer. Then he said, "Young men, I like every one of you, and I think you are handsome and lucky to have such a large family. I am your friend, so listen to this advice. Don't follow the example of the foolish old man who was just tortured to death. I have the power to punish you if you refuse to obey my command. But I can also help you if you choose to do what I say. Follow my advice and reject the ancient customs of your religion, and I will give you powerful positions in my kingdom. As young men, you would enjoy the Greek way of life if you choose to change your ways, but I'm warning you, if you make me angry by disobeying me, I will put every one of you to death in brutal and horrible ways. Be kind to yourselves. I am your enemy, yet because you're so young and handsome, I would be sorry to have to kill you. Think carefully about your decision, because if you refuse to obey me, you will die by torture." As soon as the king had finished speaking, he ordered the guards to bring everything they used to torture people so that the brothers could see them. The king hoped they would be horrified enough to eat the disgusting food, so the guards brought out torture wheels, stretching frames, hooks, pounding machines, big pots and pans, iron clamps and wedges, as well as the blowers to keep the fire hot. As they carried these things out, the king shouted, "Now it's time to be afraid, my young friends. Pray, and your God will forgive you for being forced to disobey his law." But even after the seven brothers heard the king's threats and saw these horrible things, they were not afraid. In fact, they stood up to him and would not let him control their thinking or their faith. Suppose one of the brothers had been afraid, he might have said something like this to the others: "We are fools. King Antiochus has said that he would be kind to us if we obeyed him, so we should listen to him and avoid suffering such pain. It will kill us. My brothers, think how cruelly we would be tortured with these awful things. Let's forget what we believe and stop being proud. We are young men who respect our mother, and we certainly don't deserve to die. Even if we disobeyed God's law, God is kind enough to forgive us for being afraid of this king. I don't want to die and leave this wonderful life behind. There's nothing to be proud of if we oppose the king and are painfully tortured. God's law doesn't condemn a person to death for fearing such punishment, so why should we stubbornly disobey the king and die when we can obey him and live in peace?" But not one of the young brothers said these things or even asked these questions. They were about to be tortured, yet they refused to think such thoughts. The brothers controlled their fear of pain, and as soon as Antiochus had stopped warning them to eat the food, they all replied at the same time. Chapter 9. "Go ahead and torture us, you evil king. We will die rather than disobey our ancient law. We will not put our ancestors to shame by disobeying the law that our teacher Moses gave us. You are a wicked ruler, and we know you hate us, but we don't feel sorry for ourselves, so don't you feel sorry for us. We realize you could rescue us if we rejected our law, but we don't want your pity. That would be worse than being killed. You keep threatening to put us to death and trying to scare us into obeying you. Didn't you learn anything from watching Eliezer's faith just a short time ago? And in the past, Hebrew men much older than we are remained faithful to God while they endured painful torture. We are young and strong, and if you torture us, as you did our teacher, Eliezer, we will certainly choose to die. Go ahead and test us. You can torture us and put us to death for remaining true to our religion, but you will never destroy our faith. After we have endured the cruel and painful suffering, we will be rewarded for our faith, and will be with God, because we suffer for his sake alone. God will punish you with fire for killing us, and your torment will never end. The first brother is tortured. After the seven brothers had finished speaking, King Antiochus was fiercely angry at them for refusing to obey him and for not accepting his offer to set them free. So Antiochus ordered his guards to grab the oldest brother. They tore off his tunic, then tied his hands and arms together with ropes. They whipped him until they were exhausted, yet he still would not give in to Antiochus. Then they stretched out the brave young man on the large wheel until all his bones were out of joint. He shouted to Antiochus, "You are an evil and cruel king who is opposing God. You are slaughtering me only for protecting God's law, not because I am a murderer or an ungodly man." The guard said, "Eat the meat of pigs, and we will release you." The brother replied, "You worthless servants, this wheel isn't strong enough to destroy my ability to think clearly. Go ahead and slash my arms and legs, burn my skin and twist my joints. I will show you that Hebrews will endure anything rather than do what is wrong." As he was speaking, the guards started a fire underneath him. Some of them fanned the fire to make it hotter, while others tightened the wheel to stretch the young man even more. Soon the wheel was covered with his blood, and his insides dripped down and put out part of the fire. Pieces of his skin fell to the ground and his muscles ripped apart. Yet the brave young man proved that he was worthy to be called Abraham's descendant. He did not groan, but seemed almost divine as he suffered this pain with no fear. "Do as I have done, my brothers," he shouted. "Do not give in after you've seen me die, but rely on the courage of our family and our Jewish brothers and sisters. Be brave and oppose Antiochus for the sake of our religion. Then the God our ancestors worshipped will have mercy on our nation and will punish this wicked king." After saying that, the oldest brother died. The second brother is tortured. The crowd was amazed at the courage of the oldest brother, and just then the guards brought the second brother forward. Each of the guards picked up a heavy iron club with sharp hooks on its end, and they tied him to the place where he would be tortured. They first asked the young man if he wanted to eat the meat of pigs, and after they listened to his answer, the guards tore out his muscles with their iron clubs. They ripped his skin from the neck down, then cut up his scalp. The brother endured the pain, even though the guards were as vicious as leopards. The brother shouted, "I will gladly die for the sake of my ancient religion." He then turned to Antiochus and said, "You are suffering much more than I am, you evil ruler. You must watch us endure and overcome your cruel punishment. In fact, I can barely feel any pain because my obedience makes me so happy. God will severely punish you for being the most evil ruler in the world." The third brother is tortured. Chapter 10. After the second brother had died a glorious death, the third brother was brought forward. Many people begged him again and again to eat the meat of pigs and save himself from death, but he shouted, "My two older brothers and I have the same mother and father, and they raised us all the same way, and so I refuse to ignore the honor and love I share with them." The brother's courage made the guards angry. They pulled the bones of his hands and feet out of joint, then broke his fingers, his arms and elbows, and his legs. When they realized they could not force him to change his mind, they threw down the things they had been using to torture him and dug their fingernails into his scalp, just as the Scythians do. They dragged him to the torture wheel and stretched him out on it. The brother felt his back breaking, and he saw his skin being torn and blood dripping from his insides. Just as he was about to die, he said, "Listen to me, you horrible man. My brothers and I are suffering only because our parents taught us to lead good lives, but you will suffer never-ending pain for your evil and savage ways." The fourth brother is tortured. After the third brother had died as bravely as the first two, the guards dragged in the fourth brother. They told him, "Don't be stupid like your three older brothers. Obey King Antiochus and save yourself from such pain." He replied, "You can't make this fire hot enough to scare me. I will never give in to the king or disgrace my family. I swear this by my brother's sacred death, and by the endless torment of the king, and by the never-ending lives of faithful Jews. Torture me however you want, then watch me endure all pain just as my brothers did." The cruel Antiochus was so furious when he heard these words that he ordered his guards to cut out the brother's tongue. This showed what an evil and horrible murderer Antiochus really was. Before they did, the brother said, "Even if you cut out my tongue so that I cannot speak, God will still hear my prayers, and you will never stop any of us from thinking clearly. For the sake of our God, we will gladly let you slaughter our bodies, but know that our God will soon punish you for cutting out a tongue that has sung songs of praise to him." The fifth brother is tortured. Chapter 11. After the fourth brother had been cruelly tortured, he died. Then his younger brother jumped up and said, "Listen, you brutal king, I'm willing to be tortured for the sake of my obedience to God's law. I will let you put me to death so that you will be guilty of yet another murder. Then God will severely punish you as a criminal. I know that you hate people who do right, and that's why you are killing us. We worship God, the creator of the entire world, and we obey his sacred law. For this we should be honored, not punished." Before he finished speaking, the guards tied him up and dragged him to the place where he would be tortured. They forced him to his knees, then tied him to the wheel, and placed iron clamps around his legs. They bent his whole body backwards across the wheel until he was curled up like a scorpion and his bones were out of joint. He could barely breathe because of the pain, yet he said, "Cruel king, thank you for forcing us to suffer in these horrible ways, because you will become very angry when you watch us bravely endure them for the sake of God's law." The sixth brother is tortured. The fifth brother then died, and the sixth brother was brought forward. King Antiochus asked, "Are you willing to eat the meat of pigs so that you will be set free?" The brother answered, "Though I am younger than my brothers, I can think as clearly as they did. We were taught to do right and to be faithful to God, and we will die doing that. So if you are planning to torture me for not eating this unclean food, then torture me." After he had finished speaking, the guards led him to the torture wheel. They stretched him tightly across the wheel until his back was broken, then they started a fire under him. They poked his back and sides with fiery hot sticks until his insides were scorched. While they were torturing him, he said, "My brothers and I have been brought to this cruel place to see if our faith can help us stand up to your wickedness. And we have won, because an intelligent, smart person with a deep faith can never be defeated. I am an honest and good man, and I will bravely die just as my brothers have. You proudly think of ways to torture and abuse those who remain faithful to God, yet my death will bring your downfall. My five brothers and I have put an end to your brutal ways because you have not been able to force us to change our mind or to eat the disgusting meat of pigs. Your fire isn't hot enough to scare us, and none of your cruel ways can destroy our faith. Even your guards have no power over us. God's law has protected us and helped us hold on to our ability to think clearly." The seventh brother is tortured. Chapter 12. The sixth brother was then thrown into a large pot of boiling oil where he died a glorious death. The youngest brother was finally brought in. King Antiochus had hated the other six brothers, yet when he saw their youngest brother already tied in chains, he felt sorry for him. The king asked this boy to come closer to him, then begged, "Don't be stupid like your older brothers. They died horrible deaths because they refused to obey me, and if you refuse to obey me, you will also be brutally tortured and will die a young boy. But if you do as I say, then I will treat you as a friend and will make you a leader in my kingdom." After Antiochus had said these things, he ordered his guards to bring in the mother of the seven brothers. He wanted to express his sorrow over the deaths of her six sons and to talk her into making her last son obey him. She talked to her youngest son in Hebrew, and later in the book I will tell you what she said, but after she finished speaking, the boy replied, "Let me go, so that I can talk to the king and his officials myself." The guards were glad that he had asked to be let go, so they untied him right away. The boy ran to the nearest pot of hot coals and shouted, "You disgusting and evil ruler, God has given you this kingdom and every good thing you have. You should be ashamed that you have tortured and killed his faithful servants, and so because of your cruel ways, God will punish you with never-ending fire and horrible pain. You will suffer forever. You weren't ashamed to watch your guards abuse my brothers and cut out their tongues, even though my brothers were human beings and had feelings just as you do. You are more like a wild animal than a human, but they proved their courage and loyalty to God. You will soon moan in sorrow for killing such good and innocent men." The boy knew he was about to be killed, so he said, "I will follow the perfect example of my brothers, and I pray that the God of my ancestors will show mercy to our nation. God will surely punish you now and in the life to come." After he had made these threats, he jumped into the large pot of coals and killed himself. The brothers controlled their fear with clear thinking. Chapter 13. The seven brothers willingly endured suffering and death, and so you surely agree now that thinking clearly, together with faith in God, can control emotions. If these seven brothers had listened to their emotions and had eaten the disgusting meat of pigs, then we would agree that fear defeated them. But that didn't happen. The young men never stopped thinking what they needed to do. God blessed them for this, and so they conquered their emotions. The power of the mind must never be forgotten. With their minds, the brothers controlled their fear and pain, and they refused to give in to the cruel and fiery tortures. That's why I'm convinced that clear thinking can control emotions. Tall rocky cliffs protect a harbor from raging waves so that boats can dock safely in calm water. Just like those strong cliffs, the brothers' clear thinking protected their faith and conquered their raging emotions. The young men encouraged one another and sang like a holy choir. "Dear brothers, let us die together for the sake of God's law. We will be like the three young men who were thrown into a flaming furnace in Assyria. Be brave and show our enemies how faithful we are to God." They encouraged one another by saying such things as, "Have courage, brothers, and proudly endure this torture. Remember our ancestor, Abraham, and his son Isaac, who would have let his own father kill him for the sake of religion." The seven brothers were joyful and fearless, and they looked at one another and said, "We dedicated ourselves completely to God. He gave us our lives and our bodies so we could use them to defend his sacred law. King Antiochus thinks he is putting us to death, yet we refuse to fear him. Instead, we fear the endless struggle and punishment we will face if we sin against God's command. So let us have faith and clear thinking. These will give us self-control and will protect us, just as armor protects a soldier. We might die, but when we do, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will welcome us into death, and all our ancestors will praise us." As each of the brothers was dragged away to be punished, the people watching said to each one of them, "Don't make us ashamed of our Jewish religion, dear friend, and don't disgrace the faith of our ancestors." The Love of the Seven Brothers. You know how strong the love of a family can be. In fact, God was wise in seeing that family love begins even before a child is born, and that it is carried down through the child's descendants. Each of the brothers spent the same amount of time growing in their mother's womb, and each one was born into this world in the same way. Their mother nursed and hugged them all, and so they grew up in a loving family. This love helped the brothers grow into strong and intelligent men who knew a lot about God's law. Their loving family also taught them to love each other, and they learned the same lessons about right living and obeying God. The brothers gladly helped each other grow into honest and respected men, and their faith in God made them closer than most brothers. All of these things, their birth and close family and lessons about life, helped the brothers grow up loving each other very much. But even as Antiochus was cruelly torturing the brothers to death, the others who were still alive were able to watch patiently because of their loyalty to the Jewish religion. Chapter 14. The brothers encouraged one another to endure great pain so they would be strong enough to overcome the torture and to control their emotions of love. The courage of the brothers. Clear thinking is more dignified than kings and cannot be controlled by anyone. The seven brothers agreed to be completely faithful to their religion, and each one was brave even when faced with death. They seemed to be in a hurry to die and win the prize of never-ending life. Just as hands and feet move when the mind tells them, the holy young brothers listened to their undying loyalty to God and willingly died. Praise the seven holy brothers because they also remained loyal to one another. They conquered their fears by joining together and treating torture as though it were something to sing about. The brothers were like the 7 days of creation dancing together around the center of religion. We shudder when we hear how these young brothers were tortured. Not only were they forced to watch each other suffer and listen to the angry threats of Antiochus, they also had to endure the pain of being burned to death by a fire that quickly destroyed their bodies. No other death could be that brutal. The courage of their mother. Clear thinking wasn't the only thing that helped the seven brothers endure the suffering. The mind of a woman who had endured her own tortures encouraged them. The mother of the seven young men was very brave as she watched her sons being cruelly put to death. It is difficult to imagine how much a mother loves her children. She feels that love deep inside. In fact, part of being a parent is having a strong love for your child. That's also true for animals. For example, birds build nests to keep their young safe. Tame birds build on the roofs of houses, and wild birds build in the cracks of rocky hills and in the tops of trees. They wait until the eggs hatch. Then they protect the baby birds by keeping away dangerous animals. If animals do start to attack, then, out of love, the parent birds fly in circles over the nest, trying to help the young by calling them to safety. You may wonder why I chose to use animals to show parents love for their children. After all, when bees are busy making honeycombs, they will risk death and use their iron-like stingers to protect their hive. But though this mother loved her seven sons very much, she did not lose courage as she watched them die. Her mind and her faith were as strong as Abraham's. Chapter 15. The clear thinking of these young men conquered their worst fears while their mother depended upon her faith, which she knew was more important than her own children. She had two choices. She could remain loyal to her Jewish religion, or she could rescue her sons for a little while, just as the evil king promised. She chose to remain loyal to her religion because she knew it would give her sons never-ending life, just as God had promised. A mother's love. As parents, we love our children very much, and one day they will grow to be very much like us, thinking and acting in ways we have shown them. This is especially true for mothers who have a deeper understanding of their children than fathers do, because the mothers suffer the pain of giving birth. The women are not as strong as men. They are much more devoted to their children, because they are the ones who gave birth. No mother has ever loved her children more than this mother loved her 7 sons. She suffered the pain of childbirth 7 times, each birth making her love for them even deeper. However, she feared God and refused to rescue them from danger. Her sons were strong and obeyed God's law, and so she loved them even more. They loved her and each other, and they bravely obeyed her and remained faithful to God right up to the time of their death. The mother of these brothers suffered along with them because she loved them very much. Yet their punishment was never brutal enough to make her stop thinking clearly. As each of her sons was tortured, she encouraged him to die for the sake of their religion. The love she had for her sons was strong and unending, and she suffered her own pain as she watched them being tortured and burned to death. Her faith gave her the courage to see their toes and fingers fall to the ground and the skin on their heads peel away like a mask. She suffered more pain as she watched her sons die than she did when she gave birth to them. This woman showed complete loyalty to her religion at all times and remained strong when her 3 oldest sons died, even when her 2nd son sadly looked up at her. A large crowd had gathered, but she did not cry when she saw the agony in her son's eyes and heard their last breath. And she refused to moan in sorrow when she saw the pile of their burned skin and hands and heads and bodies. She could not ignore the tortured cries of her children as they called out to her. The woman's distress and pain were tremendous as she watched Antiochus torture her sons on the wheel and with hot irons. But her clear thinking, together with her faith in God, gave her enough courage to control her love for them. The constant faith of this mother. This mother's faith in God was so strong that she was able to endure seeing the horrible abuse and death of her 7 sons. She was in complete distress as she watched her own children being tortured. She had 2 choices: let them die or rescue them so they could live a little while longer.